Culture.
Book Review. Paul Gauguin. Off Colour. Wild Thing. By Sue Prideaux.
For an ambitious, clear-eyed biographer, Paul Gauguin is an ideal subject. The French artist was prodigiously talented. He was bold and innovative in his use of colour, perspective and form. He incorporated styles from Japan and elsewhere. At the same time, Gauguin is controversial. Today, for many, the facts of his life mar his art, particularly the time he spent in Tahiti, then a French colony, where he married a succession of girls. The last one, Veoho Marie Rose, was just 14 when her family sold her to him in exchange for cotton fabric and a sewing machine. He may be regarded as a genius in the history of art. His work is currently on display in top museums in America, China, France and beyond, but curators are still grappling with him. In 2019, the National Gallery in London asked in a show, "Is it time to stop looking at Gauguin altogether?" A new exhibition at the National Gallery of Australia declares that, in today's context, Gauguin's interactions in Polynesia in the later part of the 19th century would not be accepted. Sue Prideaux, whose son works at The Economist, is not put off by difficult characters. Her previous books have examined Edvard Munch and Friedrich Nietzsche. Wild Thing is the first major biography of Gauguin in three decades. Though she is not an apologist, she proves a broadly sympathetic biographer. Gauguin's life was peripatetic. In 1849, shortly after his first birthday, he and his parents set sail for Peru, seeking a fortune that never materialised. His father died in transit. He returned to France at the age of seven. Whenever Gauguin was bullied, he would hiss, "I am a savage from Peru." Later, he joined the Merchant Marine before becoming a stockbroker. Only then did he turn to art. He was a quick study. He drew and painted obsessively, working en plein air like the Impressionists such as his mentor, Camille Pissarro. After just 4 years, Gauguin had a piece accepted by the Salon of the Académie des Beaux-Arts, the most exalted accolade for painters. But in 1882, the stock market crashed, leaving him destitute and unable to support his wife and four children. Even as his art became startlingly original, humiliations piled up. Ms. Prideaux devotes a chapter to the friendship of Gauguin and Vincent van Gogh, pointing out that many of van Gogh's best-loved paintings, including the Sunflower series, were a response to his fellow artist. Gauguin's reputation has suffered because he has been blamed, unfairly, the author suggests, for van Gogh's death in 1890. The Dutchman's mental health collapsed after an argument. In 1891, Gauguin set sail for Tahiti. It was here that his work developed the explosive power that shocked his contemporaries. In an act of transgression, he depicted exotic, eroticised Polynesian women as Venus and the Virgin Mary. When Gauguin died in 1903, a bishop described him as a reputed artist, but an enemy of God and everything that is decent. Some nuance has since been added to that sketch. In 2000, Gauguin's home on Hiva Oa, Maison de Jouir, or House of Pleasure, was excavated. This yielded a jar containing four of his teeth. Analysis of them proved he was not, in fact, undergoing treatment for syphilis, a long-held belief among previous biographers. Then, in 2020, the artist's memoir and sketchbook was discovered. A screed of reminiscences, score-settling, hopes and despairs, it is a valuable source, adding complexity to an already complicated man. He attacked exploitative colonialism in Tahiti and the Marquesas Islands, for example, despite his own predatory sexual relations with girls and descriptions of locals he painted as savages. Ms. Prideaux says that her aim is not to condemn, not to excuse, but simply to shed new light on the artist and his influence. Those looking for a moralistic take will be disappointed by Wild Thing. It portrays Gauguin as a complex, intractable man to the last.